right, welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, the podcast where I, Doug Ishikawa, and
me, Mark Hahn.
We're going to set out on a journey of self-discovery through the magical world of the Hallmark holiday movies. It's like if Frodo and Samwise Gamgee had a holiday podcast together. Which one would you be, Mark?
Oh, I'd want to be Sam.
You want to be
Sam? Well, first of all, he's the actual hero of the story.
Oh, okay. Agree to disagree right off the top here.
Well, come on. Then I get to yell potatoes and then, you know, yell at Gollum because he doesn't know how to prepare potatoes.
I enjoy all of that. I agree with you on all of that, except for that, except for Samwise being the hero there. But you know what? It is like a holiday podcast if the two of them got together, just minus the One Ring to rule them all and the minus the orcs and minus Elijah Wood and Sean Astin. So one does not simply podcast about Hallmark movies, but the journey will be filled with a couple of things: adventure, love, and a ton of courage. In our description of the show, I called ourselves pop culture experts. Mark, would you agree with that statement?
I would say that you and I are pop culture experts on things from about 1985 to maybe 2010. Like, that's our real wheelhouse there.
It's a very tight window here. But you know what? Because the audience doesn't know, we have had some connections through pop culture before. One of them would be that we have gone to see Baywatch together in a movie theater. I mean, this is pre-COVID.
Sure.
And what did we do in that Baywatch movie? Do you remember?
Well, seeing as how you and I took comprised about two-thirds of the entire audience, and we sat right next to each other. Anytime there was a really good line, we'd stand up and yell Baywatch. And, I mean, so, what could the other person do?
We were big fans of the Zac Efron and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So, yes, Mark is right. We did yell. It was an empty movie theater, so no one cared.
Right.
But we did yell. Two grown men yelling Baywatch at the top of their lungs every time that they did something very Baywatch. And we also have connections through John Wick. Love that. All three of those movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Coming out with a fourth soon. I don't know if that one is going to be before or after the next Matrix movie, but at one time, they were scheduled to come out on the same day.
We're big Keanu fans here, and we are also very big Last Samurai fans. I don't know if that has been... What has that been? That has been everything about us so far.
That's the bedrock of our pop culture connection, is the Last Samurai.
It's sad. It is a little sad, but I mean, we both like Japanese culture and Tom Cruise.
Yeah, actually, yeah. So that movie was kind of the Nexus event then. I mean, that's our Venn diagram.
So for those of you listening at home, all one of you, Baywatch, John Wick, and The Last Samurai has all brought us together. So when we started to hash around some ideas on what we could do, we just decided, you know, we got to bring some Ted Lasso to the world, and we have to start talking about some things that are positive and good for all of us. So we start today with our first Hallmark movie with You, Me, and the Christmas Trees, which aired this past Friday, October 22nd. Happy Halloween to you,
that's
Mark.
That's right. Happy Halloween.
Is it too early for these types of movies to begin, would you say?
So for me, absolutely yes. However, my daughter was like thrilled when I said, oh, I'm going to be watching this movie. She's like, oh yeah, she's been trying to listen to Christmas music on her Spotify account for the last 3 weeks. So for me, yes. But you know what? I sat down. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
What is Christmas, a couple months away?
Yeah, you know, very long time out there. My answer is absolutely not. I think that I can watch any of these movies if it's in June or July or maybe even August when it's hot outside. But this particular movie stars Danica McKellar. Do we all know who Danica McKellar is?
Winnie Cooper.
Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years, Benjamin Ayers, as well as headlining Jason Hervey. Do you know who Jason Hervey is?
Oh, he was Wayne, correct? From The Wonder Years?
Yes, Fred Savage's brother.
Right.
Yes, he is in it. It is a reunion of sorts for The Wonder Years, and it is a very, very magical movie if you haven't seen it. Do you know how many Hallmark movies Danica McKellar has starred in, Mark?
Well, I happened to see, I was like searching around for the link to the movie the other day, and I saw her at least a few times in other movies. I don't know the exact number.
16 since 2015, but eight Christmas movies. Do you know any of those eight Christmas movies, or have you seen
any of those? Are you suggesting to me that she is averaging more than one Christmas movie per year over the last 6 years?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to hear them? Okay, here we go. Yeah. Love at the Christmas Table.
Okay.
Crown for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
My Christmas Dream.
Got it.
Coming Home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas at Grand Valley. Christmas at Dollywood, which is about like Dollywood is Dolly Parton. I guess
that's the one I think I saw the ad for. Oh, that was Dolly Parton is actually in that movie. Yes.
So good.
I think she is.
And then a little bit of a mystery Christmas with Christmas She Wrote. So eight.
Did she play the Angela Lansbury role?
I have no idea. And then plus this one, the You, Me, and the Christmas Tree. So Mark, we're going to get started by telling what this movie's about to the people that maybe have not had a chance to view it yet. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock to get us going. I wanted you to give me that quick synopsis there to cover all the points that we truly need to get a full picture.
Do I need to make this a spoiler-free synopsis?
You do what you need to do here.
Okay.
I'm going to get it going on my little timer here. And we'll see what you can come up with, but make it magical. All right, Mark, go ahead.
Okay, so at the beginning of this movie, you know that Danica McKellar's character, Olivia, is the She's the head of horticulture at the University of Connecticut. Jack Connor is a evergreen tree salesman or a Christmas tree salesman, and he's having problems with his tree. All of his trees, as soon as they are being cut within 2 days, all of their needles are falling off. In a last ditch effort to be able to salvage this Christmas's sales, Jack calls up Olivia Arden, to see if she will come to the town of Avon. And see if she can help fix the problem, because the biggest deal is he needs to have a giant evergreen tree in the town square, as it has been his family's tradition for 100 years. Oh. Did I do it?
You did it with 1 second left.
Yes.
Nice job. Yay! Here is the actual Hallmark description of it. I'll get on. Olivia is Connecticut's resident expert on evergreens, who just days before the holiday agrees to help Jack, a fourth-generation Christmas tree farmer in Avon. A mysterious illness has befallen their firs, causing them to die out and threatening his family's 100-year business. As Olivia tries to get to the root, no pun intended, of the problem, and extends her stay in town, she and Jack spend more time together, and feelings begin to develop. You, me, and the Christmas tree. So let's start by breaking it down a little bit about what happened in this movie. That was actually, Mark, I got to tell you, that is fantastic.
Well, I saw it twice.
Oh, you saw it twice?
Yeah.
So you are just full of cheer right now, all the way through the house.
I spent 3 hours just so I could nail that 1 minute.
I'm very impressed by that right now. So my first question to you, Mark, is does it fit the narrative of all Hallmark movies? Give me a little, you know, what does a Hallmark movie entail every single time that you sit down in front of the couch with a fire burning, a warm blanket, and hot chocolate for you?
You are asking the wrong dude. And I thought that was this was the twist that we were bringing to the Hallmark movie podcast. I will be honest with you. I have never seen a full Hallmark movie. To my understanding, it's a kind of a formulaic, romantic movie set with Christmas being the backdrop. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would love to sit back with some mulled wine or whatever it is and have the fire going. I'm told you can fall asleep in the middle of one of these for maybe 10, 15 minutes, wake back up, and you won't really have missed anything that you can't catch up on.
I absolutely disagree with
that. Okay. Let me hear it. You're a veteran of these movies, I take it.
So it all starts off with, like Mark was saying earlier, you know, Jack needs some help on, it's the Connor Christmas farm. He only does one thing, And that one thing is Christmas trees. They get into an accident at a little bit of a love tap, if you will, at the roundabout. And it's like,
wait, who's they?
Jack as well as Olivia. Do you know?
Okay.
Okay. They've already talked to each other on the phone. They've never seen each other. It just happens out of the blue. And all automatically you're off and running with the chemistry between these two. Jack needs to open himself up a little bit more, I would say, his business. Mm-hmm. Olivia is a listener, as she says. She's a tree lover, or as she likes to put it, an evergreen specialist. And at the end of the day, I walked away from this. These are two people who love what they do. Have you ever met people who love what they do more than Jack and Olivia, Mark?
I'm not sure that I have, at least not at my place of business.
Absolutely not on that front. But here's a couple of things that brings them together. There's like five really big scenes, but actually more like seven. So Jack and her go back to this motel, and he knows the owners of the motel. He's like very
good friends. Whoa. Oh, don't you mean the old Avon Inn that is run by his cousin Lisa?
Oh, wow. You are very specific.
Come on.
That's good. Good. Yeah, exactly. Exactly what I was thinking. Good. Catch me on those things, because there are a couple Christmas community events that just makes the movie everything that you want it to be. It starts off with an open house dinner. And can you give a little bit of background on what would you say, man, Olivia's family, I would say, is a little bit more. What are the words I'm trying to say here?
Well, we don't know where their wealth is from, but it does seem like they have a very big home and that they love to host Christmas parties. And something that Olivia alludes to many times is that while they care about other people's perceptions of them, so they're this kind of upper crust Connecticut family, but how we don't know how or what they do, but yeah, they probably wouldn't necessarily be the ones down for digging in the dirt and helping Christmas trees grow and achieve their Christmas destiny.
She's gone rogue. She's like a salmon swimming upstream.
She is,
against her family's wishes. But there's the open house dinner that is partaking downstairs when she first FaceTimes with her mother. And
can I interrupt you for 1 second about the FaceTiming?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Please do.
Have you ever seen people be better at framing themselves for FaceTime than these two? I was stunned.
Yeah. I brought that up to my wife too. I'm like, what is this? This is cinematography at its best.
Yes. Nothing like, you're not like wanting to puke because the thing's jostling around. There's no like, you know, yelling kids in the background. There's not a dog. Like, everything is perfect. Their faces are well lit. You can hear everything they're saying. It was amazing. Most of my FaceTime calls do not go that way.
It's a little bit scary. I mean, it was really close up on their faces too. And it was like all of a sudden you get like Olivia. And
I'm going to do that right now.
Yeah, there it is. People can't see it, but it is terrifying.
Right.
How close you are. Even to the right now.
I'm concerned.
I'm concerned.
I need to go
too.
Clean out my pores or something.
Maybe you do. Biore strips, folks. We're not sponsored by anybody, but Biore strips. You know, what I found interesting at the very end of it, that he's automatically into her. He likes her. Mm-hmm. He is obviously attracted to her immediately, because you see Caroline take place. He wants her to be a part of the Caroline. And what do you remember what song they sing?
Oh, Christmas Tree.
Oh, Christmas Tree. Yeah. And there is a raise of a mug of hot chocolate. And it is like a nod to, hello, welcome to Avon.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what she does? She nods back.
She nods back.
So therefore, that chemistry is like almost through the roof right there. If you move on to the Christmas community events, there's a Christmas cocktail competition, or as I like to call it, the CCC. Have you ever been in a Christmas cocktail competition before?
I have not. Have you?
I have not either. Do you remember?
Can we make that a thing this year?
Well, maybe we shall.
Okay.
We can do that very easily. And I don't want to give a ton of spoilers away, but what do you remember with the magic ingredient that Olivia puts into her drink that puts it over the edge for everybody in attendance?
Well, despite the fact that Jack asserts that it was illegal, Olivia says, well, it was on the table.
True.
And it was a pine needle from one of the Christmas trees.
How many times during the movie do you think that they said the word trees? I didn't count, but I'm just wondering. Ballpark it for me, because, man, they really let you know that the Christmas tree is around full display here.
I think it has to be 100, right?
Maybe over under there.
At least. It's said once a minute, at least.
Well, I'm already on board with the Christmas cocktail competition. Olivia wins it. The chemistry begins and continues to grow, especially after the mug salute to each other. Then she comes down the next day. Jack dresses up as Santa. His accent, I've never heard an accent like that before with Santa.
No. It's just really deep. And
very deep.
I'm not sure what he's doing with that.
Was it Norwegian? I don't know. I don't want to I don't want to offend what Jack was doing there in that scene there, but the accent's amazing. She sees that he's there for the children as well.
And she's falling deeper and deeper in love, right?
Deeper
there.
And deeper in love. The Connors Christmas craft fair. I'm sorry, did I cut you?
He gives her the old sting thing or the from the movie The Sting.
He
does
winks.
The thing with the nose.
I thought it was putting a finger beside his nose up the chimney he rose. Is that not how you read it? That's how I read it.
You mean that Santa's picking his burgers?
No. I just thought it was something like Santa did that. I don't know. He put his finger on his nose. It was weird.
Go back and watch The Sting.
All right, we'll do.
Then you'll know.
We move on to Connor's Christmas craft fair. She comes up with the brilliant idea to move it outside. And things partake from there. The gift exchange is also part of the Christmas community events. Man, Mark, do you remember the book that they bought for each other?
The History of Christmas Trees?
The History of Christmas Trees. Now, it was... I don't know. We're going to get to heartwarming moments here in a little bit here. But I specifically remember yelling during the movie at the time, keep the book. Keep the book. She bought it for you. You bought it for her.
But, you know, the rules of the white elephant made it so you knew eventually they were going to get there, right?
Yeah. I got to tell you. That was probably, I don't want to get to heartwarming moments just yet, but that's going to probably make the list. And then we finish up with the ornament in the Yule log. And then the beautiful line there is your family now, Olivia, because only the people who can cut into the Yule log are family members. And whoever hits the ornament inside the Yule log gets to light the Christmas tree in the center of the town. So there you go. That's kind of like a little bit of a rundown of everything that happened. So if you missed it, make sure you go back and check it out. They kiss. Dwayne screws things up. They argue. The main argument here is what? What's the tension between the two, Olivia and Jack here?
So you alluded to this earlier, but it's basically that Jack does not want to do anything but grow Christmas trees.
We do Christmas here.
That's it.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
She wants him to do more. Do more, Jack. Do more.
Basically, she's saying what any good investment strategist would say. Diversify your portfolio, man. Then you're not dependent on one crop all the time. And he is resistant.
Grow some corn. Do something.
Yeah. That's what most people do, is they diversify. But he's got his father's words ringing in his ear. Jack of all trades, master of none, despite the fact that he is named Jack.
You feel that? That's a Hallmark movie right there. And you know what? At the end of the film, the tree represents the town. It's our town. It's our tree. 100 years later, even the mom says it's a hero, a villain, and a love story. So there you go. But let's get to some of the categories throughout. And I know I didn't give you a bunch of time to do this, but one of them is going to be Baywatch.
Baywatch line.
Lines that made us laugh, cry, or feel the feels. Do you have any Baywatching lines that if we were in an empty movie theater together and we were watching you, me, and the Christmas trees, you would stand up and shout it out loud?
Absolutely. There's a point, and I don't quite remember where it was, but I do remember that Olivia says, "Science for the win," which I really enjoyed, given our current situation.
That's Yes. Believe in the science. We'll spin it in the Hallmarkian way here. Believe in the science of the DNA of the tree bulb is what she's
really going for. Yeah, that was wild. Like, wait a minute. We're sequencing tree DNA now? I'm like, okay, I believe you. I have not been, checking in with tree science enough lately, but maybe we are.
It was definitely, I did not go as deep my first Baywatching line was, first, we Coco. I have never heard a line that beautiful before. And it's as if he already knows that he has her heart.
Yeah.
And so he's going to just go through the Coco, whatever. What is it? Like a Coco buffet tray table that he's got going on there in the very beginning of the film.
Yeah, and he's so confident about it too. Like, first we Coco. Like all other human beings are very aware of using Coco as a verb. Like, that's people don't do that, but maybe in Avon they do, and he's maybe just showing her the ropes.
Man, and I don't think throughout the entire movie that Jack's voice gets any higher than mine right now. And
oh no,
I had to lean in to listen to some of his smokiness of his. Yeah. And I gotta tell you, when somebody says, first, we Coco, I'm running to get some Coco.
Well, yeah, you're not gonna deny him. You're already entranced.
Absolutely.
I was.
Absolutely. Do you have another one that you...
I do have one more.
All right, give it to me.
So this is when Jack and Olivia are talking about, you know, all the people and the trees and how much they mean to them, the Connor Christmas trees. And he says, you know, it's not just about the tree. It's about what happens around it. that got me.
Tears?
That got me. Tears? Tears.
Yeah.
One little tear on the right side of my right eyeball.
Yeah. A couple other ones that I wrote down. Do one thing and do it the best. We already talked about Jack being a little stubborn there and not wanting to grow any corn. Another one that I had, and it's going to... I thought very long and hard about making a sign off to be one of these lines that made us laugh, cry, or feel the feels. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, to the evergreen is probably one of the most best cheers that I've ever heard. And
it's a great line.
It is a great line. The other two that I had, it's amazing that something as simple as a tree can bring people so much happiness. I wept at that moment.
Yeah.
And then when it came back and he spun it around, and he said, Jack's saying, it's the best part of living in a small community. We're all here for each other. I completely lost it, and I needed to pause the movie where it was. So,
especially you coming from the second largest community in this entire state.
Yeah. Well, let's not triangulate our position here for anybody.
Sorry.
Nobody wants to really nail
you don't down. Live there now.
No. I live in Tulsa. But let's go move on to the second category here. Heartwarming moments. Did you have any heartwarming moments? What were some of the things that really tugged at the heart there that made the heart grow three sizes too large that day?
So my favorite heartwarming moment, and I wish they'd spent a little more time developing some of this plot, but it was the kind of side plot with Peggy, Jack's mom, and Harry, her kind of quasi suitor from the, it's not a, I hate to use the word, no, it's like a retirement community is where they both live. And
it's like college, she says.
Yeah, but I don't have to study and I don't have to take a test.
Yes.
And the fact that, like, you know, Jack's father has died quite a few years back. And so it was nice to see people who had lost someone finding someone else later in life and having companionship. I really liked that.
That is nice. I would say one of the first heartwarming moments I had was when he is talking about the Christmas tree and he brings Olivia over, and he looking at the ornaments and he says, this one right here is from my great grandfather. And inside is the sand from the beaches of Normandy. So, I mean, you got to bring in a World War II reference right there. And that one really stuck. Give me another heartwarming moment.
I actually didn't write any more down. I'm going to defer to you on these.
Wow. You know, Mark, the entire time that we got together on this and we wrote these things. Now, mine was, I don't know. Have you ever seen The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
I have not.
With Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet?
I know of it. I haven't seen it.
Beautiful moment right there in the movie there. But when they have to dig up the tree bulb to see what's happening inside the tree, he can't find her initially. He's standing there and it's snowing. And his eyes are closed. And then he looks around and she's not there. Because you know what she's doing? She's lying down. She's lying down on the ground. And she asks him, lie down next to me. And then she goes into one of the most beautiful monologues about loving trees that I have ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one warmed all of my heart right there. Let's move on to double entendre.
Is it double entendre?
Is it? You're smart.
No, I'm not. You say it how you like. But it's a French word. I never took French.
Oh, well. Let's go double with what meanings. I said. I'll look it up.
Double entendres.
Oh, okay. Double entendres. Okay. Do you have one?
I loved the dad jokes that he did with her at a certain point when she says, "Well, look, I've never been stumped before." And of course I laughed out loud. And she's like, "Oh, don't say I see what you did there because I didn't do anything." He says, "Okay, I believe you."
And then you like puns. You're a punny guy.
I loved it. Yeah. And then he goes on to say, "Oh, it must have been because I was born in the fall." She's like, "What?" He goes, "September."
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of that.
I knew at that part in that particular moment. I'm like, oh, Mark's writing down these as something that he really enjoys or he's laughing. That's more of a feel the feels, I think. But some of them that I wrote down when they looked at each other, not all of it was science. That was one of them that I thought.
Right. Yeah.
I think Santa knows my Christmas wish. You don't need Santa for that. You've got me. That one really went straight to the heart there. Except for the part when I met you, because I'd do that again in a heartbeat. Me too. I really think
that was a nice moment.
It was a really nice moment. I care about you and your trees. I mean, laying it pretty heavily on that there are a lot of double meanings that both Jack and Olivia. Why don't you know they should have just gotten together the first moment that they met. Would you agree?
It was really a long, slow burn.
Really? I know, right?
I was like, wait a minute. You two are clearly into each other.
What are we waiting on here? Let's go. What are we doing?
I was actually checking this. They didn't kiss until 85% of the movie was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did do a handhold earlier than that, but I was like, come on, what are we waiting on here?
It was the greatest slow play by Jack ever and Olivia ever. I mean, they both knew that they were kind of into each other. They gave a lot of these very nice little speeches to each other. When he said to her, "I think this is it." And she says, "I really think it is too, Jack. I really think it is." That's marriage right there, is it not? I mean, right. Is that the same thing that you said to your wife too when you looked into her eyes?
Oh yeah, the first night I met her.
The first night?
I didn't.
Are you serious? I don't want to laugh at that.
No, not the first night. No, interestingly though, we celebrated our 17-year anniversary yesterday. So,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Did you talk about Christmas trees at all during the conversation at dinner?
Yeah, because I said when we're done with this, we're going to go watch You, Me, and the Christmas Trees. So, yes, we had conversations about that.
Oh, good. That means that the love is as deep as the roots in the ground of a Connor Christmas tree.
That's right. The right. Love remains.
Lessons ever- learned.
Whoa. Oh, the love remains evergreen.
Oh, Jesus. I'm allowed to say Jesus because it's a Christmas movie.
Okay, good.
All right. Am I not? Okay. Lessons learned.
What was your lesson learned? You go first.
It's not about us.
It's not about us.
It's about Christmas. And it's about bringing people together and bringing joy to the world. So that's what I gathered as I sat there last Friday.
My lesson learned was that you should always, always suspect Jason Hervey's character to be up to no good.
Yeah, really, right?
Whether it's in the Wonder Years or this movie, that dude is about to do something devious.
Yeah, can dive into Jason Hervey a little bit here. He was
I have so much to say about him.
All right, go ahead. Here's the floor for the Jason Hervey moment.
So Jason Hervey, I feel like an angel or God or somebody spoke to Jason Hervey when he was 10 and said, "All right, look, man.
Is this in real life or just in the movie?"
I think this happened in real life. Oh, okay. I think somebody said, "Hey, look, in about 5 years, you're going to get really, really famous.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to be famous for a few years. And everyone's going to know your name." after that, you're going to have a period where no one knows who you are. On the upside, you're going to age about at half the speed of all other human beings.
Yeah, he looks the same.
He looks pretty much the same. On the downside, as you age, the crown of your hairline is going to move further and further towards your nose, to the point that when you star in this movie, your hairline begins just above your eyebrows and it looks like a triangle. So I feel like that's been his journey.
That is some really deep thoughts right there. I'll tell you about Jason Hervey and his character, Dwayne. I did write F.U. Dwayne in my notes. Now, this is a clean podcast and a family-friendly podcast, but I did write that. You know, he gives it away. Like, he doesn't even put up a fight at the end.
Well, and if you're the villain, you never come up and gloat about stuff because then that just raises suspicions. I mean, come on.
Yeah, we don't want to give everything away, but he does put Weed Killer on the tree. There it is. I just spoiled it for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the guys,
it was only one tree. It wasn't all of the trees. It was just the last tree.
Right. It was because the
Connor,
tree, though.
Jack Connor's got some deep rooted problems with his trees.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what saves the trees?
Well, what saves the trees is what
a lozenger.
Well, what I could only assume was about 15 Oreos put into a blender and then packaged into a large pill form and then put into there.
But
packed
with
nutrients,
what,
though. Nutrients.
Adhered with what?
Adhered with sap that is on Jack's hand when they first hold hands.
Oh, my gosh. His hands are too sticky because of the sap.
Yep.
And that clicks to adhere it all together. And there you go. It's a beautiful moment there.
Do you think the two young men that Dwayne hires to do the herbicide job are the two guys that were like the last group of twins up against Fred and George Weasley in Harry Potter?
You think so?
I wonder. Like, I looked at those two guys and I was like, okay, I've never seen these actors before, but I wonder, are they the rejects for
nowhere near as trying? Well, they made a fabulous decision then in the Harry Potter series because those two twins were very, very charming.
Yes, they were.
And spoiler alert, very sad at the end there.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Let's not dive too deep into that because we're here to bring people joy and not sadness from one of the Weasley brothers. Correct. Perishing in the Harry Potter films. But where would you go, Mark, if you had to give this a steamometer as you were sitting there with your wife on your 17th anniversary after a night out from McDonald's? Let's not bring up stuff. We don't want to get sued.
It's Wendy's all the way. What are you talking about?
Now we just got sued twice, but go ahead. Where would you say as you sat down and you ate your fast food hamburgers, the steamometer?
This is a one for me. There's no steam here. Now, I will say these are two exceptionally attractive people, but there's very little steam. I mean, to that end, Benjamin Ayers or Jack at some point says, you know, that he's 27 years old.
That's the best, handsomest, most ruggedness. Is ruggedness a word?
Rugged.
Rugged.
Rugged is the adjective there.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate that.
That actor is 44.
Oh.
And you know what? There's nothing wrong with being 44. I kind of had a problem with them, like, requiring them to be aged down. But, yeah, there just wasn't a lot of steam. I think you wrote somewhere I saw in a set of notes that this is a generically handsome dude. And you could not have put it more succinctly, precisely. That's absolutely right. Good looking dude. There's no steam happening between these two. If you are looking for a steam.
I disagree.
You disagree.
I thought the moment that they, quote unquote, love tapped their cars together, the fireworks were already going off. And I was like, is this a 4th of July movie or is it a holiday movie? Because I was confused with the amount of tension that I felt watching the two of them going back and forth.
And, the tension in that scene was pretty good. I would agree there.
It was kind of like a Three's Company, like the audience knows. Do you know what I'm saying? Is that is that a bad reference? Three's Company. People are. We just lost.
What is it? The audience knows in Three's Company.
Yeah, for the 12-year-olds and the young kids, the millennial kids that are listening to this podcast right now, they're like, "What the hell's? Oh shoot, what's a Three's Company?" Yeah, no. What's a better reference there that I can say? But like, there's a miscommunication, but we know as the audience,
we're all in on the joke, but the two of
they
them
don't
aren't.
Know, and yes. then she finds mm-hmm. out that, you know, whatever. Okay. Well, I thought it was a 10 because and in generically handsome for all of Jack's wardrobe. I mean, I've never dressed like that as a fella before in my life, and now I just went out and I bought an LL Bean catalog because I'm going to buy the entire thing.
I'm glad you mentioned this because on my second watch, I said, you know what? I'm going to count how many jackets I see Jack wear.
Perfect. And every single one.
I got at least to 6, potentially 7. I'm thinking, who owns that many? And like, if his wardrobe is that good. Yeah, he's got enough coin to like last 5 bad years of this. But
he must do pretty well. I was like, how many Christmas trees can he be selling every year if he only does Christmas trees?
My only concern is that he seems to be doing his accounting in leather-bound notebooks, which I, you know, no one's ever told this guy about, like, you know.
No, those were his grandfather's journals, man.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, he was poring over them to figure out how to solve the crisis?
He was
poring
over them to see if in the 100 years of the Connor family tradition of growing these trees, has there been any moment like this before? I'm sure he knows what Google is. He's 27.
He's 27. That's true.
A 44-year-old man wouldn't know or wouldn't be very good at it. That's why we struggle at Google spreadsheets. But Jack knew because he was like, just put this to the drive. All of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's true. I'll send it off to all those little companies that will do my tax information.
I thought he was trying to do like analog Excel or something in there, but
I did not see a Commodore 64 computer in the background. So he is well above on all
with like 4 megs of RAM.
Yeah. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. You act like I know what that means. I'm just here for the hot cocoa and the nods of mugs. I'm going to try that too. Next time I see you live.
Yeah, I mean, is your wife going to like be down with that? Like next time you like, you know, sit down for hot cocoa, is she going to return that nod in the same way that Olivia does?
Only if I'm wearing the scarves like Jack. Like,
I suppose. Know?
I mean, beautiful vests. And I noticed that you have a vest on. Are you trying to do your best Jack right now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was thinking about like the fact that I'm kind of bagging on this guy, but I know that I probably own 4 or 5 vests. But mine come from Costco and not LL Bean or Abercrombie or anything like that.
He is 27. Maybe he is, you know, we're dropping way too many companies' names and we are sponsored by, and this is a perfect opportunity. We are sponsored by absolutely nobody. Please don't sue us for the 3 people that will eventually listen to this podcast. But
have to say one last thing.
Go ahead.
In favor of this movie and in favor of Hallmark as a Hallmark movies as a channel, as a production company, whatever it is, the set dressing in this movie really was incredible. Now, I'm going to guess that they probably reuse these sets for a lot of different movies that they're doing, but it felt like throughout the entire movie, no matter what room you were standing in, Santa Claus had walked in and just puked. I mean, because there was stuff, not any inch was left untouched by some sort of decoration. It was really cool. I thought they did an amazing job with that.
Well, we tip our mugs of hot chocolate to the citizens of Avon for making the town exactly like that in every nook and cranny that you walk through throughout that town. So good job, Avon. Eggnog ratings. Let's finish it up with eggnog ratings. Now, how many eggnogs would you give this film out of? 4 eggnogs is too many. 4 eggnogs is the top.
4 eggnogs is the max.
Okay. 4 eggnogs is the max. So where are you with the eggnogs here?
I'm giving it a 3. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this movie. It was a good time. I think just because of the way it was written, Jack and Olivia had so much screen time together that you could only pull so much out of that. I really was missing more of Kellyett. Do you who's Kellyett?
Who's Kellyett?
Kelly is the couple that I have shipped their names, Kelly and Elliot.
Did you just use the word ship?
Yeah, I did. Is that not the right
27-year-old Christmas tree farmer who understands drive? Okay? You don't shop at L.L. Bean. Let's not go there.
Oh, I don't get to use... Is that how I get, like, the permission to use those kind of phrases?
I guess so.
Like poggers and sus and no cap?
Yeah, I still don't know what you're talking about. Oh, okay. Finish it up.
All right. So for me, three knocks.
Three knocks. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll give mine four knocks.
Four knocks?
I told you the steamometer was 10 was out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
You know, from the moment that the cars crashed and they both said, oh, no, I was like, yes, I'm in it. Deep.
It was a nice meet cute.
It was. It was cute. I thought the whole thing was really well done. I liked the dynamic of the family. The family always knows before the main characters that they should be together. Mm-hmm. And they kind of push them along the path, but they push them in a way of loving. And that, to me, means a lot. So I gave it 4 out of 4. It's a good start. I think it's a good start. You know, if we average our nogs together, it's a 3.5 nogs out of 4. So that's pretty good right there. And I think any time that we have and see an eggnog in a movie or the Yule log, we have to bring it up. I did bring up the Yule log ornament cake. Mm-hmm. So you know what? It does push the ratings up there a little bit higher for us. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else that you want to drop in before we get out of here for today?
Merely that I'm excited for, is it called Boyfriends of Christmas Past?
Yes, that's going to be our next film.
Yeah.
You excited for that one?
I'm very excited for that one. If we're going to drop in some Charles Dickens into a Hallmark movie, I am down.
Yeah, we have a long way to go. If you haven't yet checked out, there's 41 of these. And so I don't know how many times Mark and I actually want to sit down together and have these conversations. But it's going to get deep. It might be pretty good to see where we can head here, because we started on October 22nd. And it's 3 a weekend, I think. Friday, Saturday, Sunday is the schedule here. And it does amp up a little bit more as we get closer to the holiday season. But that's going to put a wrap on it for us, pun intended. Another adorable.
I see what you did there.
You see, I'm trying to, you know, make sure that as a dad joke guy that you like, that I give them sometimes to you.
Do you just not have enough time to develop those with the number of children in your household?
I don't have time for anything. Okay. I have time for 4 eggnogs and then I have to go. That's what I have to do. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for hanging out with us for episode 1 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. We'll be back next episode, like Mark said, with the second Hallmark countdown movie, Boyfriends of Christmas Past. And Mark?
Doug?
To the evergreen.
To the evergreen.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah.